FM. Stay relevant and up to date. Keep informed. This is 101.9 High FM.
Hi and welcome everybody once again to High Cooking Corner. This is Adrian from Cushering Your Life speaking. And today in my studio we're doing vegan versus vegetarian, and my special guest is vegan dietitian Nicole Sachs. Nicole graduated from UCT with a degree in dietetics and nutrition and has been in private practice since 1998. She's been on television, radio, and magazines talking about nutrition. She is passionate about nutrition and has seen the firsthand benefits of healthy eating, not only on the body, but on the mind as well. And she is like me. There is so much disordered eating out there, people eating just randomly, not consciously thinking about what they're putting into their bodies. And she has, as well as me, loves helping people get used to the idea of eating well and eating healthy and getting healthy. And with nutrition changing so much, every year new things are learned, that it's important that we keep up with all of these things. So welcome, Nicole, and thanks for being in my show.
Thank you for having me here.
I know when I put on Joburg Jewish Mommies, I was looking for a vegan mommy. I got a few laughs, and then your name popped up, and I thought, oh, thank you, finally.
I wasn't quite sure what you were looking for, though, the time, because there is definitely an interest, and people are more interested. So I actually thought maybe you wanted to come and see me for a consultation, but I'm very happy to be doing this.
Yeah, no, hopefully you will get some consultations from this, because I've said last week as well, in my house, I now have two, what I call them, quasi-vegetarians. They don't like eating meat or fish or chicken, but they're okay with the gravy part. You know, so if I cook something, they'll eat the vegetables out of a stew, but they won't actually eat the meat. So I just wanted to talk to people about the different types of vegetarianism and what a vegan is compared to a vegetarian, and why people become vegan or vegetarian.
Okay, it's very interesting. Some kids at the age of like 5 or 6 just realized that a chicken is a chicken and it's the same thing, and decided at a very early age they're not eating it. For other people, it's more of a progression. There are different types of vegetarians. There's vegetarians that eat dairy. There are vegetarians that eat eggs. The difference is that vegans try their really best to not eat any animals or wear any animals and stay away from animal testing. And there's three main pillars, you could say, of veganism, three different reasons why people do it. The first is health, because there are a lot of health benefits to giving up animal protein. There's a lot of health benefits to giving up dairy and eggs as well, which I know surprises a lot of people, because we are told every day how important dairy is and how important eggs are and how we will maybe die if we don't eat red meat. And so there's your health benefit to it. That I could talk forever on. There's also the environmental benefit of being a vegan. Your environmental footprint, your carbon footprint when you don't eat meat and dairy products is enormous. They do say that if you're a vegan and you drive a Hummer, you have less of a carbon footprint than someone who eats meat and drives a Prius. And then, of course, there's the animal side of things, where people just decide, they make the connection. And once you make that connection, it's very hard to go back. I have a very hard time walking through the meat section of Pick and Pay now, because it literally looks like dead bodies to me. It doesn't look like food anymore. So it's just a matter of your perception. But whereas, you know, it looks like food to people, it doesn't look like food to me anymore.
I think for my one daughter, the final straw was my husband very kindly bought some fish on special without checking that it had been cleaned and prepped. So there I stood in my kitchen having to descale, debone, and she walked in and went, oh, my God, not eating that.
it's all packaged. You know, it's all done intentionally. You know, they don't want us to make the connection.
No.
It mustn't look like, you know, they must put little happy cows with little cowbells on the packaging, and everything mustn't look like it actually ever came from an animal. And it's quite funny, because I often see on some of these tabloid websites, you know, they found like a vein in their meat, or they found a feather, or what did you think you were eating, you know? So people don't want to be reminded of what they're eating. They want to keep that disconnect going.
Yeah, that was one of my surprising things, is my son went to the abattoir, and I was wondering how that would affect him, because he is like pure carnival. I mean, this child, you know, he's a meat eater. And it didn't worry him at all.
Yeah, so some people it doesn't. And some people, you know, I had a friend, she said she'd happily kill the cow herself and eat it. And that's fine. And there are people like that. Uh-huh. And that's absolutely fine. But I do believe that it is better to know and to understand and then to make the decision rather than to just walk around in your little foggy phase, think, you know, with a disconnect that you don't really understand where your food is coming from and what you actually are eating.
So I think that's one of the things with healthy eating. One of the kids, they did it with a group of school kids. They showed a potato and these kids had absolutely no idea. They didn't know that the potato chips they were eating actually came from a real potato because it comes frozen from the grocery store. So that was a big thing for me. It was sort of an awakening to realize that my kids needed to learn. And my children are quite educated on the weirdest vegetables now. They are quite
it's
good at that.
It's very important. You know, you'll say, I mean, I've had patients, I've had kids, you'll say something about broccoli and they go, what's that? Is that the one that looks like a tree? And what's that? And they really, it's, you know, it really is quite a sad day when they don't know that a potato chip comes from a potato.
Yeah. So that was a big thing for me to make us change. So I just wanted to, the other thing that we talked about with vegetarian is I do in my house, and when I do the meal plans, I have a subscription meal plan where people get like a week's worth of meal plans, like Friday night, well, not Friday night, week's dinners with their recipe and their shopping list. And one of the things that is on there is that every Monday is vegan.
Amazing.
And Tuesday is vegetarian.
Yes, amazing.
And it's just to introduce people to the style. And I mean, Meat Free Monday didn't start for me out of a consciousness thing. It started as, because when I started my business, that was like the trend.
Yes.
And it's just become a way of life for
me. Yes.
For me, it's a nice challenge because it's nice to find vegan dishes that, like, will introduce new flavors and introduce new things. My house, the rule is you have to taste it before you say you don't like it.
Amazing. Yes.
And my kids are very good with it. So I've got, you know, when people come and my kids will eat kohlrabi, they'll eat a calabash. They've had it before. They've had star fruits. They've had all sorts of weird, strange things. They're okay with tofu, not their favorite.
Yes.
But you've got to prepare it right. So that was one of the big things that I like, was the fact that everybody in my house is used to trying new stuff and they're very good at going, yes, make it again, or no, don't. One of my kids sort of says, I don't know why you ask us, you never make it again because there's too many other things to make.
The interesting thing, though, is that we still, you know, we still kind of, and it is, you know, the dietitian's fault, my fault including, where we taught people there must be a protein and there must be a starch. And I must say, since being on this journey, I just don't think like that anymore. And people are very worried about protein and, oh, there must be a protein at every meal and protein, protein, protein. And the reality is, it's way too much protein and it's way too much animal protein. Mm. It's more animal protein. I think people eat more animal protein today than they've ever eaten. I know people think it's we're eating more of everything today than we actually ever did. You know, so people will say we're eating more sugar and we're eating more fat. And we are eating actually more of everything. But people think protein is this wonderful, amazing, miraculous nutrient that they, if they eat lots of, they will be thin and healthy. And actually, it's really not true. And what I'm trying to do is to get people to stop focusing on protein, protein, protein. You're not going to die if there's no protein. If you feel like it and you want to make a chicken dish, make a chicken dish. But don't be under the impression that there has to be chicken on the plate. It's just a mindset shift. So you can say, all right, if I don't have, I didn't really feel like chicken anyway, but I thought I have to have the chicken. It's a mindset shift. So now you can make a dish and a recipe that doesn't include chicken. And the reality is, not everyone is going to be vegan and no one is going to turn vegan tomorrow, but every little meal that doesn't have an animal protein in it is a meal that, you know, you're doing good for your body, good for the environment, and good for the animals.
Yeah, that's one of the things my mother complains a lot when she sees a picture on my on my Instagram or something. She goes, but what else was there? And I'm going, there didn't need to be anything. She says, well, how can soup be a meal? There's no protein on the plate. Or there was no starch. And I'm going, but the soup was the starch. But it's not filling.
Yeah, I know. And it's all preconceived ideas. And we are learning more and more every single day. And it's, but this this obsession with protein and protein powders and protein shakes and protein drinks. And really, it's not good for us. We don't need it. We don't need to be, you know, pumping our bodies full of protein every day in order to be healthy, if that's the conception out there.
No, absolutely. This is what I'm learning. And I mean, I can remember when I started nursing, which was in the 80s, it was like, even for the diabetics, if it had any sugar in it, you couldn't have it. Yes. But they've since learned that it's actually fat more than the sugar that's causing the problem.
Yes, and even so, even more so now, there's a wonderful book called Reversing Type 2 Diabetes, written by a vegan doctor.
Okay.
Where protein has also been shown, you reduce the animal protein and you reduce the strain on the kidneys. Proteins can be also very insulinemic. They can also result in an insulin response.
Yeah, because that's one of the tests when you're in kidney failure, is your protein levels. So that's something. So I'm just going to quickly go over the different kinds of vegetarianism so people are understanding what it. So the first one is called pesca-vegetarian. These are vegetarians who actually eat fish. They pretty much eat all animal protein. Well, not animal protein. They don't eat meat or chicken, but they will eat fish. Then there's the lacto-vegetarian. Those are the people who won't eat fish, meat, or chicken, but they'll have all the others. They'll have eggs and cheese and milk and that. And then we've got a straight vegetarian who really sort of wants to try and avoid all of those things, but is still, you know, more, what I call them, they're just doing it because they don't like the taste.
Yes.
Not for health reasons, not for passion, not for sympathy or anything like that. We'll get back to this now. We're going to take a quick ad break.
Stay relevant and up to date. This is 101.9 High FM.
Thank you and welcome back. So today we're talking to Nicole Sachs, who's a vegan dietitian, and I'm talking all vegetarian vegan meals. So then, like I said, I've got a quasi-vegetarian at home. That's what I call it. Is my girls have decided they just don't like the thought of eating an animal, but they're not opposed to having vegetables cooked in a stew or gravy poured over their vegetables. So they don't mind the flavor. It's the animal in their head that, you know, I don't think they've quite made the connection between their leather shoes, not that they get any of those, or, you know, certain products. So that's the thing. And then a vegan. A vegan is a person who will not eat anything derived from from an animal. So no eggs, no meat, no chicken, you know, no milk, all those kind of things. And like you said, some of them don't wear any animal product either. They're not on testing.
No wool, no silk, no leather, and no honey.
Yes.
Because which also people laugh at.
But come from an animal.
But it comes from
it's
an
a
animal.
Bee. So, yes. So, this is what I want to, and one of the questions I have for you about that is cheese.
Yes.
For the vegetarians who eat cheese, they're not eating meat because of sympathy reasons or what. What cheeses, like ordinary cheeses, and I'm not talking kosher cheese because I know that doesn't have rennet in it.
Yes.
Do all cheeses have animal rennet, normal cheeses, or do vegetarians even know about
I think they're phased out. I think you almost have to look for cheese that does contain animal rennet. I haven't seen it. I think animal rennet was phased out long ago.
So that was one of my questions.
I almost think that might be a special kind of cheese that you might have to source from somewhere to actually find a cheese that will actually have animal rennet. I think it's just been phased out. I haven't seen it.
So that was because I remember that was one of the reasons why you had kosher cheese and non-kosher cheese is because of the rennet.
Yes.
Because not only is it not kosher meat, you're mixing meat and milk together. So that was something that's always been worrying me when I see a vegetarian buying ordinary cheese and I'm wondering, but it's got rennet. Do they know?
I don't think that you can find cheese with animal rennet.
It's probably
very
too expensive.
Easily. Yeah, I think mostly they'll say non-animal rennet.
Yeah. So that was something else. And I know my husband was going through medication now because he checks for the kashrut of a medication. And we were looking at the gelatin.
Yes.
And I see a lot of them have said, some say straight gelatin, so we're assuming it's pork gelatin.
Yes.
Or bovine, whichever, which is beef gelatin. And some say fish and some just say all natural gelatin, which I'm assuming is something like agar.
Yes,
you know,
that
kind
absolutely.
Of thing. I still got to practice with that
stuff. Gelatin is one of those, it's really just such a hideous product. I watched a video once where they showed you kind of your wine gums in reverse. And you kind of go backwards into this video. By the time that video ends, you can die. It's just a pile of animal skins and bones. And terrible.
So it is. Well, I think that's part of why I can't eat the pcha. you know, so that was something I always worried, like made me think, like when I saw the vegetarians, like, yeah. You know.
And some of these vegans are hectic. They are absolutely. Even worse than these very strict kashrut people. Check labels, check for everything, check for, you know, they won't have a pill that's got lactose in it.
Yes.
And the capsule has to not have gelatin and all sorts of things. I just feel that if it comes to medication that you need to take, if there
well,
are options.
If you're not choosing.
Yes.
If there's an option available and it's easily available, then yes, great. But, you know, if I want to, I'm not taking the medicine for fun, I'm taking it for a reason.
Correct.
So, the other thing I wanted to cover is the plant-based proteins.
Yes.
Like we were saying, people are so fixed on protein at every meal, but there are so many proteins available in the vegetables that we eat.
There's
never
protein,
mind the nuts and stuff like that.
Yeah, but there's protein in a banana. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's protein in every single food. There really is.
So,
I mean, food is made up of cells and cell structures, and those cell structures are made up of protein. So everything you eat has got a protein in it.
That's it.
Obviously, just to different varying amounts. I really have learned over the last few years what to do with lentils and grains and beans, and people don't know what to do. And I also never knew what to do. Our default setting is what we grew up with, and people will always revert to what they grew up with. And it's easy to throw a chicken in the oven and to fry up a steak. It really is easy. So you've got to get creative, and you've got to look for recipes, and you've got to start changing your taste buds a little. But I make spaghetti bolognese with canned brown lentils, and
yeah,
I love it.
I love
and there's
it.
None of that like hard fat at the end when it's all cooled
congealed
down
on
and
top.
Congealed at the top, which I always imagine clogging up your arteries. And I make this. I throw them into everything, and I cook with them a lot. And I've got the brown lentils, and I've got the orange lentils, and I've got the dried ones, and I've got the canned ones and beans as well. And the research on lentils is phenomenal. I mean, if you want a superfood, there it is. There it is. I mean, if you want to increase your fiber, your antioxidants, your anti-cancer, your nutrients, the foods that are really good for you, you have to try eat more lentils. The recommendations for lentils are half a cup a day, which I mean people don't eat half a cup a month.
No.
But I try get in at least one or two meals with lentils or beans at least every week. And it can be as simple as baked beans. And if you add baked beans to a braai, for example, you've added your superfood.
Right. So for me, beans are like in my cupboard, you will find at least a can of lentils, a can of speckled beans, a can of baked beans, a can of butter beans, and green beans, and peas.
Can't go wrong.
Because those are so easy to add to everything, and they make great salads as well. I've got a curried lentil stew that I love making. And I often, for me, starting a fast is I put lentils in. It's a low GI food.
Yes.
So nobody's
and it's a
hungry.
Whole food, and it's a whole food. So, you know, something that I'm trying to teach my patients now when I see them is, does it look how it grew? We're trying to go back to whole foods in the world of
processed, so it's almost like paleo.
Packaged food. Not quite,
almost.
But in a world of, like, just processed,
can you
processed,
see what it looked like when
food,
it started?
What does it look like? So, like, the kids don't know that it looked like a potato. The lentils and the beans and the corn and the peas and the chickpeas, those are whole foods. And you have to think about whole food. Is it a whole food?
Yes.
A potato and a sweet potato is a whole food. You can't go wrong when you're eating whole, real, unprocessed foods.
Absolutely.
So, again, my patients will say, oh, no, but potatoes are fattening. I'm like, no, they're not. A whole, if you.
It's what you stuck on the potato.
What you do to it. So, yes, a packet of chips. You know, I look now, everything is in foil. And I'm starting to think, is there anything that comes in a foil package that is actually good for you? Because, I mean, you know, it's the energy bars and the crisps and all those shiny foil packages that I'm trying to stay away from.
So, I had a good laugh yesterday. I was at the shops and a gentleman in front of me suddenly picks up the bar wine. Chocolate bar and one of those health bars, and he looks at it and he says, the energy bar has got more sugar and fat, more fat in it than my bar one. And I said to him, yes, it does. You're actually probably I'm not saying you are, but it's probably better to eat the damn bar one than to eat the
well, I was looking once at labels, and I was in Woolworths, and they had shortbread, and next to it they had these like muesli health rusks. Thanks. And the shortbread had less. I mean, you're not really comparing, but the shortbread, if you're looking at just fat content, the shortbread had about 10 grams less of fat per 100 grams than the whole wheat muesli rusks.
So,
label reading, I think, can be quite fun and quite interesting.
It is, because I know you can get the sugar-free or the low-sugar peanut butter.
Yes.
But the fat content in that is like double.
Well, I'll tell you why that is, and you'll generally find that, because sugar and fat are generally on a seesaw.
Yeah.
So something that's high in sugar is generally low in fat, and something that's high in fat will generally be low in sugar.
So you need to find the balance.
And generally speaking, if you look in the natural world, someone spoke about this a while ago, and I don't know why I never thought of it, but if you look in the natural world, if you look at foods that grow on trees and in the ground, they are that you will never find sugar and fat in the same food.
Yeah.
So foods are either naturally high in carbohydrate and very low in fat, or they're naturally high in fat and very low in carbohydrate. And we put them together all the time. And that's where we land up in trouble, because we almost make sure everything we eat has got sugar and fat and carbohydrates and fat, and they're always together. And when you look at junk processed food, they will always put them together, and we almost can't resist it.
Yeah, well, this is it. Okay, we're going to take a quick ad break, and then we're going to come back. We're going to talk about getting nutrients from your vegetarian diet.
Stay relevant and up to date. Keep you informed. This is 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. I'm Adrian from Cushering Your Life, and with me in studio, I've got Nicole Sachs, who's a vegan dietitian. But she does do ordinary diets for people. Don't worry.
Yeah, I don't like to. Not everyone who comes to me gets a vegan diet, but the vegans, quite interesting, because I'm starting to get vegan people coming to see me who just need, you know, a lot of them are amazing and they know what they're doing. They've done their research, but some of them are just a little bit lost and confused.
Yeah, I think everybody needs just a little bit of guidance to go, okay, you are doing it right. Maybe tweak here and there.
I did see some patients not so long ago who were just too much oil. Oh, my God, too much oil. Drowning. They were going through a bottle of olive oil almost every 2 weeks. I said, no. So little things like that.
Yes. I have learned that you don't use olive oil for straight frying. Mm-hmm. Because it burns much quicker than ordinary oil. So I'm learning a lot about oils recently.
Fascinating. Less is more.
Definitely. I'm learning. I'm watching chefs, and what kills me, maybe it's just me, I can feel my arteries hardening, is when they mix butter and oil together for the flavor.
Yes.
And I'm like, I can actually feel the arteries tightening up for that.
Terrible.
But so that's the thing. So I'm looking at, okay, so like I've said before, I've got a family that's very diverse. I've got two who do not eat any sort of, like, they'll eat tuna. I have to admit, they do eat tuna. And occasionally, they get fish fingers, which they're okay with, but not often. They don't choose to do it, but if it's there, there's nothing left in the fridge, sort of end of the month, they'll definitely have them. My son could have a box on his own, but he is a meat eater in the first place. So the one thing is, like I was saying, we've got the vegetarian who's not eating because she doesn't like the thought of having an animal. Okay, big animal lover. But she also doesn't eat a lot of fruit and vegetables. How do you ensure that a vegetarian or a vegan is going to – how do they choose to get the foods, to get the nutrients they need without some resorting to a – vitamin supplement.
Well, this is the thing, and you're not the first person who has said it to me, but to be a vegetarian who doesn't eat fruit and vegetables
is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. You know, you might say to me, well, I don't like aubergine, but you have to find a space where you are eating fruits and vegetables. Yeah. Whether you are, you know, someone who eats meat, you still need to be eating fruit and vegetables.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what diet you eat, you need to be eating fruit and vegetables in abundance. Again, people are, the butternut or the orange vegetable or bananas are too fattening. Really, don't be scared of fruit and vegetables ever. If you've got a chance, you know, people will buy fruit. People have said to me, I've bought fruit, and I watch it go rotten in the fruit bowl. And I'm like, no, what are you doing? Eat it. It's not doing you any good watching it go rotten in the fruit bowl.
Okay, so I must admit, look, thank goodness, both of my vegetarians eat bananas in abundance and apples and grapes.
Great.
So those are the three that I can guarantee that every single person in my family it's never going to go off. There's a few things, but one of the things I did learn is to make soup.
Right.
And we have cold in soup in summer and hot soups
Amazing.
In winter. My family can quite happily have soup for breakfast, a few of the members, and have done so on more than one occasion. Tomato soup for breakfast on Shabbos morning was a little odd. But, hey, it's cold and they
amazing.
Wanted it.
Amazing.
So we do, you know, that's an important thing.
I'll tell you what I think. What people don't realize often is they think, well, what's the difference if I have a bowl of tomato soup or, chocolate, I'm trying to get people to understand it all matters. What you put in your body matters. Mm. It's not, you're not filling the gap.
Yeah.
It's not just grab a packet of chips and a Coke and fill the gap and you'll be fine and on your way. Every time you are eating, you are making a choice of what nutrients you're putting into your body, and those nutrients will behave differently inside your body. So it does matter. It does matter so much as to what you are filling that gap with.
Yeah. That's absolutely. So one of the things we did when we first started changing the way we ate was I stopped buying sweets, chips, chocolates. There's no kind of treat, I suppose, what people would consider a treat in my house. The kids will go, if I'm hungry, I go, drink water. Now, that's really kind of controversial in my house because I don't drink water. I don't like water. For me, water comes in tea, coffee, cold drink, and other stuff. But what I have sort of conceded to is the local added
water. My whole family, my mother trained us to drink water. Me and my sister have trained our children to drink water.
Yeah.
And they drink
so
water.
So thank goodness.
And it is a bit of training. If you give a two-year-old the option of apple juice or Coke or water, they are never going to choose the water. So to the moms out there with small kids, don't give them the choice. They will never choose the water over the soft drink or the juice. So you can be trained to drink water. And now her kids and my kids, I mean, we go out, they ask for water. We're at home, they don't ask for other things. They ask for water. They've been trained to drink water.
So mine as well, once we got, at one stage we had the little water cooler thing.
Yes.
You can't believe how much water we went through because they didn't have to open the fridge, take out the bottle and pour the water. So the reason they don't drink it is they're lazy.
Yes.
Right. So once it was there and it was in front of them, they drink. Thank goodness my kids choose water and rooibos tea over all the other stuff. Obviously, if we're going out for supper, which doesn't happen often, they're going to choose a cold drink.
Yes.
And but that's fine.
Again, what some parents may allow is more than one cold drink. If it's one cold drink, you're still thirsty, it's water after that.
No, so we get a jug of water at the table plus the cold drink.
Yes.
And you get to, we're done. You know, when it's finished. And I do that for Shabbos as well.
Given half a chance, they will have one Coke and another Coke and another Coke and then a Fanta and then a Sprite and they will carry on.
So like Friday night, we're eight of us. I buy one Coke, two-liter Coke. Once it's done, well, there's water in the fridge.
Yes.
And then another cold drink for the Shabbos morning or Shabbos lunch because we usually have visitors. But in general, no. And my son discovered my fruit. I've got a juicer.
Right.
And he's having fun with that. And obviously making sorbets.
Amazing,
And that was... So suddenly my one child is eating melons who beforehand hated them. But they found it was so easy because they put it in the Thermomix, they put in the ice and whatever. They mix it up and they've got instant slushies.
Yes. So I make strawberry banana ice cream in my blender. I've got a really nice blender. And I've got, it's been winter so I haven't done it for a while. But just frozen bananas and frozen berries in my blender. And you've got, and my son loves it. And you've got to. Beautiful ice cream.
So we've been lucky. The one who hates vegetables and fruit and stuff actually likes smoothies. And she prefers the smoothies with water rather than milk, which is fantastic.
Rather do the water than the milk.
No, but she chose that herself.
Yes.
She was adapting
again,
and learning.
People
and
think,
did it.
People assume a smoothie needs yogurt or milk, and they really don't. I've put fresh orange juice in mine. I've put pomegranate juice in mine. Or just water in mine. My smoothies are amazing.
Yeah, no, she's learning, and all of a sudden we're getting her to eat fruit and vegetables. The other strange thing that I did learn was not to do with vegetarian or veganism, but for the lactose intolerant child, she's not dairy allergic, it's only lactose. Mm-hmm. I've discovered that when you get a cheese that has got zero, they break it down and they say carbohydrates from, and on it says sugar and there's 0 grams. Mm. I found the lactose intolerant child can actually eat that.
Yes.
And it's been such a pleasure because we can suddenly, one of her favorite things is a cheese and tomato sandwich.
Right.
But we had to stop her eating it.
Right.
So I've found cheese, kosher cheese, especially the cheddar, which was hard to find because not all of them have the breakdown, the dietary breakdown on the back. And the one that did wasn't kosher, but I found, you know, the imported one.
Most cheeses will be lower in lactose.
Yeah, but these ones all have 0 grams. Okay. So last night she had a toasted cheddar cheese. And she said this morning she's been fine. She was so excited.
Yeah, it does open a few more.
So it just made life. I mean, I'm not going to be buying it a lot because it's expensive. But she is absolutely, there's so much out there for people with dietary restrictions.
Yes.
And, well, for vegetarians, I found, what's it, Urban Vegan?
Yes.
I found their products. I haven't tried them.
I think I've tried some of them. There's another company called Herbivore. And they have got, it's made from seitan.
Okay.
And that's basically gluten protein from wheat.
Okay.
I don't know how they make it, but we bought the pastrami and we made vegan pastrami on rye. That was amazing. They've got vegan.
Where did I find that?
Couple of places. They have got a Facebook page.
Okay.
There is a little place which I love called the Fussy Vegan. Mm. It's next to a garage in Craig Hall. They do chicken mayonnaise sandwiches and bacon, lettuce and tomato sandwiches and all vegan. Their food is amazing and they sell some of the products there. But they've got biltong. They've got actually a whole thing. It looks almost exactly like biltong. It's a little bit softer than biltong, or how I remember biltong. But if you actually let it dry out, it gets a little bit more chewy. What you can really do is almost you're tricking your brain because it looks like meat and it kind of tastes like meat. And your brain, if you let it go there, accepts that it's eaten meat. Their chicken mayonnaise sandwich is unbelievable. I don't even know how they make it.
No, that's something. Because the other day I was making a recipe and it specifically required bacon in it, smoked bacon. Now that's a very specific flavor and you can't buy a kosher meat that's going to have quite that same thing. And for me, most of the smoked meats have got MSG in, so I can't have that. So I found this from the Urban Vegan, like two little pieces.
So there's the Urban Vegan and there's Herbivore.
So that's what I put in, and it was absolutely, it just added the flavor. So if you're making, say, a spaghetti Alfredo.
Yes.
Which technically should have, the real one has, besides cream, also has meat in it. You can actually make a purely vegan spaghetti Alfredo.
It's actually hilarious because, you can make, it almost seems so unkosher, but it's all vegan. So we got, tofu scramble with fake bacon and like fake cheese. And you can make this whole thing and you think, oh my God, there's bacon and cheese and all these things, and it all feels so wrong, but it's actually
my kids love the cheeseburgers.
Vegetarian.
I do the fries, chicken or burger patties, and then I get the tofu-ty cheese slices. Yes. They've got the American cheese slices. Yes. The only thing is the American cheese slices are exactly like ordinary cheese slices. They're so over-processed, you can't melt them.
Yes.
They're literally like having – but once every couple of months, we put a slice of cheese on. Although I'm loving the coconut cheese slices.
From Woolworths and Pick n Pay.
I just wish the Woolworths cheddar one was kosher.
Okay.
The spread and the slices are kosher, but not the cheddar.
Yes.
Which is – I don't know, maybe it's obviously their flavoring or whatever.
Okay.
But just to – I did a stuffed burger, real meat.
But it does feel
it feels odd.
Very wrong.
I used to do it on Purim. I often on Purim make what we call a treif meal.
Yes.
And it's meat and cheese and stuff together. It's everything that we would never eat because it's Purim. It's time to have fun. So those are the things that we speak about, you know, when we're talking about eating.
Oh, just on processed meat. I can't let that go. I can't move on from there until I say – processed meat is probably the worst thing you can eat and that you can feed your children.
Yeah.
And it might be controversial and I might get slack for saying this, but giving your children processed meat, you might as well be handing out cigarettes.
Yeah. So for me, cold meats and stuff are fresh sliced. You're going to have a cold meat sandwich. That's what you're going to have.
I know it's easy. I know the kids like it. I know it tastes nice.
The fries sausages and their sausages and their hot dog sausages. And they are so nice. You can eat them hot or cold.
My kids can have one hot dog a year.
Generous of you.
Oh, yeah. Then they say, can I have a hot dog? I say, have you had your hot dog for the year? And I think the one had and the one hadn't.
So I'm quite bad with that when I do pea soup. I often put Viennas or, I grew up that way. I love it. Mm. So I slice it up. But it's literally a sausage per bowl.
No, we make the fries hot dogs at home. We love them.
They're divine. And I've put them in food before as well. That's called for meat. We make them into kebabs with fruit and stuff like that in it and vegetables. And they have them for school. And it's easy to serve them cold.
And as you said, the fries polony is also very nice.
Nice on sandwich. So they get cold meat sandwiches, the same as their friends. Yes. It's just a lot healthier.
Yes.
So that
there is very. There's a lot of research to show that cold meat, it's been classified as a class 1A carcinogen.
Oh, really?
In the same category as asbestos.
Sure.
And as
cigarettes. Scary.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing is margarine. My pet thing with margarine, you've got to look at it carefully. Not all margarines are pyrav because they do contain. But margarine is originally a chemical byproduct that was used to feed animals and then made into something for human consumption. But what I've noticed is people are not looking at the label. The labels are very clear there about whether you can use them for frying.
Yes.
Whether you can use them for baking or for sauces, because something happens when you heat them up.
I must be honest, the diet that I promote in my practice is always a low-fat diet. So the butter and the margarine have to fall away. Oh. I don't mind a little bit of olive oil or canola oil for lightly, salad dressings or just getting the onions going.
Yeah.
But no, I don't like either of them.
Yeah. So
there's the butter margarine debate. Am I going to have both?
If you're going to have, you might as well stick to butter.
It's a lot healthier
than having chemical margarine.
You know what it is, though, with butter and margarine? Is you literally are adding fat to your food. Mm. And somehow, and again, I often say this to my patients, it's almost like a subconscious thing that if there's not fat in it, you will add fat to it. You will make sure that you are getting fat as well in your diet almost every single meal.
So the one thing I've learned is instead of putting butter or margarine, like say I'm doing a cheese sandwich. Now you need something to make the cheese stick to your bread. I put mustard.
Okay.
I use whole grain mustard on it. It's a nice flavor. But I also use mayonnaise or I use Avo as a butter.
Right.
Because if you spread your butter, which is tonight's meal, I'm going to give out that recipe just now. Hummus is the base of my thing because it is a healthy spread and it makes things stick.
Yes.
So
you can do amazing. I've seen some amazing. Not only can you make hummus with chickpeas, but then I've also seen people with all different. They make red kidney bean and butter and all those kind of paste like dips,
spreads.
Almost spreads. Mm. You can add beetroot to them. Mm. You can make them amazing.
We love beetroot at home, I must admit.
So yes, color.
So we love like roasting beetroots.
Amazing.
That's something I've learned.
You want to look for color. I actually saw a patient the other day. And she said to me, I feel like I'm eating trash. I said, okay, let's have a look at what you're eating. It wasn't the worst diet, but I said to her, there's no color. Everything you're putting in your mouth is brown and beige. We need to put some color in your diet and some color on your plate.
Yes, because we do eat with our eyes.
And it's an easy thing to teach kids, where's the color? So the beetroot and the green peas and the oranges and just colorful food.
I'm loving whenever I find them, the new carrots, the colored carrots you can now pay.
I haven't seen them. Oh, no. I've only seen them on the internet.
Purple. No, I found them. It's purple and orange and white carrots. They're proper baby carrots.
Yes.
Those baby carrots that we buy in the packet are actually real carrots, just made it smaller. Baby beets are big for me. And then I found all the potatoes.
The purple ones?
Yes.
I haven't found the purple. I've also only seen those on the internet. They're like this. They're like a unicorn
for
me.
They're called Violet Queens.
Okay.
Then we've got a mixed one where it's like almost like a marble.
Yes.
Effect. They're all divine.
I haven't seen them.
You've
I've
got
been
to look
dying
out for
to
them.
Try them.
You've got to look out
I'm
for
sure
them.
At the end of the day, they probably all taste pretty similar. But again, those purple pigments in the potatoes are unbelievable for you. They are powerful antioxidants.
And you're looking at a potato. I made a potato salad, purple potato salad,
Oh.
which was a huge hit
with the kids.
No, the kids loved it. I mean, I had teenagers for lunch. We're going to take a quick ad break, and when we get back, we'll continue, and I will give you the recipe for tonight's supper, which is a vegetable tart.
Stay relevant and up-to-date. This is 101.9
High FM. Hi, welcome back. Adrian here from Kushering Your Life, along with Nicole Sachs, a vegan dietitian, who's helping us with tips and tricks about vegetarian and veganism, and that it's not as unhealthy as people think, or as limiting as people assume.
Or as hard as people assume.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so, I have to say, though, you know, people think that you will die without meat and chicken and eggs and dairy. And I always say, well, here I am.
Yeah.
I'm alive. I didn't die.
Yeah. No, so that is
my
a
head didn't
thing.
Fall out. My nails didn't fall off.
In fact, they're probably better.
And in fact, I don't want to talk too soon, but I haven't been sick. I haven't been sick for about 2 or 3 years. I don't actually remember the last time.
So that was one of the things also when we changed lifestyles and I started the meal planning and everything. I pretty much make sure I have garlic or ginger in it, just about everything we eat. And I have found that even when the family does get a cold or sick, it's not for so long. It's much shorter in duration than it used to be. We don't go to the doctor as much as we need to. Mm. And everybody's immunity seems a lot better.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. And my kids always tease me because I'm like, they say I have OCD about hand washing, but not just for me, for everybody.
Right.
Like, don't touch me unless your hands have been washed. I think that's just a nursing hangover thing, I must admit.
Yes,
but it is a big thing. So we talk about vegetarian and vegan. And like I was saying, my house, we do Monday night is vegan and Tuesday night is vegetarian. And I'm loving the challenge of finding things that not only that I know my family will eat, but things that are going to be tasty and things that are going to be not expensive. And that's a big thing people complain about with vegetarianism, is that you've got to buy all these fresh fruit and vegetables and they're so expensive.
Okay. I mean, it's quite interesting because if you look on the internet and on YouTube, there are vegan channels where they've looked at, you know, being vegan on $5 a day or $2 a day or $1 a day or whatever, $20 a week. And they've shown, and I mean, $20 a week, if you think about $200 to $300 a week that you could be eating, it's really not. I mean, because it's going back to the whole food and going back to staple foods, you can buy huge bags of rice and huge bags of pasta and huge bags of potatoes and, Fruit and Veg City will have that special bags of potatoes and onions and butternut. And these are the foods that we should be eating. Yes, occasionally you can buy an expensive vegan cheese for some special meal that you might be having, but that's not your daily intake. Mm. What a vegan diet, again, I think people get it. I'm not trying to copy an omnivore diet. I'm not trying to find fake eggs and fake meat and fake food for my breakfast. My breakfast is
real
oats.
Food.
My breakfast is oats with bananas and flax seeds and cinnamon and frozen berries, and I love it, and it's amazing, and I look forward to it. I'm not trying to look for, you know, some fake lunch. I'm happy to have a leftover soup or a salad or just low GI toast with avocado and or some hummus, and that's lunch. Mm. Simple, basic, healthy, cheap.
Yeah.
It can be so, I mean, and if you buy dried lentils and dried peas and dried beans, even cheaper.
Mm.
Bought a bag of orange lentils and it's about R12.
And really,
and
I know
you cook those, they swell up. If you add half a cup of orange lentils to your soup, you can almost double the amount of quantity of soup you've got. I mean, they swell up and they double.
So we do that a lot. I do that for my cholins in winter, is they get lentils or barley or something that just swells up. And then I overfill my pot with water and everyone goes, but it's too full. And I said, don't worry about tomorrow. It's all gone, but there'll be enough food for whoever comes for lunch because I can often have 15 to 20 people at lunch.
Right.
And usually without warning.
I've actually cooked, it's almost like a veg. I mean, I literally throw in the pot onions, carrots, potatoes and barley. And celery.
Yes.
With a bit of vegetable stock. And you boil that up. It's unbelievable.
So that's also.
My husband actually said it tasted like meat, which I thought was quite good.
Yes. Because he's
almost looking for the bones and the meat.
Yeah.
And they're not there. But you get that. You get that same feeling that you might get. And that fullness.
Yeah. And that's an important thing in a household full of teenagers or young kids.
Mm.
It's keeping them full for longer. Because I've just had a message from a client to say, like, her kids are always hungry. She's not sure. And I know, like, my mother was in hospital and she was saying, a couple of years ago, and she was saying, it's so odd. The food they're feeding me doesn't look healthy, but yet I'm not hungry like I am at home. Well, because of the way, what they're putting on their plate. Not, you know, yes, it looks unhealthy, which is great because then people want to eat it.
Yes.
But it's very carefully thought out. I mean, it's, you know, hospitals have dietitians who tell them what's going to go on their plate.
Yes.
Because she said, like, it doesn't look like very healthy. And I've often heard from patients going, I ordered a diabetic diet, but this doesn't look like a diabetic diet.
Yes.
I'm like, no, don't worry. You know.
Absolutely.
There's things.
And, you know, people get so ingrained in a way of thinking that it becomes very hard to think differently.
Yeah.
It's very hard to start thinking, I don't need to have meat or chicken at night. Then what am I going to have? But it can be really quite fun and quite challenging, and it's quite nice to break free from constraints that you've always believed and ways of cooking that you've always thought you had to do.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I'm just going to give the recipe. Tonight is, you know, this week is Monday and Tuesday. Like I said, we have vegetarian, vegan, whichever. So here is my vegan dinner, and that was, it's a vegetable tart. So I don't know if you can get shortcut pastry casing here in South Africa. I've never seen it. I make my own because the shortcut pastry is really easy to make. A little bit against your what you like, because we do have to use butter or margarine in it. So it's flour, and this is nice and cheap, dried mixed herbs because you want it a bit savory. So I like to use the Italian herbs because they have rosemary and thyme, which are my two favorites, and, you know, they give a nice flavor to the food. 100 grams of butter or margarine. Please check once again, like I said, that the margarine is suitable for baking. And 5 mils of salt. So it's like 3 ingredients in this thing. You sift the flour into a large bowl. Rub your butter or margarine in until it forms like a crumble. Then you stir in your salt and your herbs, and you add about 30 to 45 mils of water just to make it into a dough that you can shape. Knead it. Place it in the refrigerator in some cling film just to chill and to harden up. And then when you're ready to cook it, you put it into your pie dish or whatever you're going to use. And at 140, you just put it in for about 5 minutes, just so it starts to cook and firms up to make your base so it doesn't get soggy when you add your nice vegetables. Right now, for the vegetables to go into the vegetable tart. So 200 grams of hummus. It's your pastry. 4 asparagus spears. Please remember, this is a recipe for 4 people. If you're making it bigger, double. 1 zucchini sliced. 1/2 a red pepper seeded and sliced. 100 grams of canned artichoke hearts, drained, rinsed, and sliced. 4 button mushrooms sliced, and 30 mils of canned chickpeas drained. So it's a nice filling menu. Once you've had your partially baked pastry shell, you're going to spoon the hummus over and spread it. And then you're going to put all the vegetables on top and pop it in the oven for 20 minutes until it's cooked. It's a simple, it's easy, it's quick to do. And you can make your shortcut pastry in the morning, and it's ready for the afternoon. You don't have to spend a lot of time on it. And that's one of the most important things, is that I don't have time, and I don't want to spend time. I think that also puts people off.
Yes. I'm just, while you're talking, I'm thinking about my supper, which I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to just take potatoes, cut them into quarters, drizzle of olive oil. I bought for Pesach, it was an Italian seasoning to make salad dressing. And Pick n Pay was getting rid of them. They were selling them for R5 a box.
Oh, yeah.
I sprinkle all of that over my potatoes, roast them in the oven with a big salad and maybe some baked beans, and that's going to be my supper.
Nice, yeah. Look, I've fallen in love with fresh herbs at the moment.
Wonderful.
But, you know, fresh herbs are expensive, and they're also seasonal, some of them. So dried herbs, there's nothing wrong with dried herbs. The flavor,
and there's
just
actually
not the
a
same.
Lot of antioxidants people don't realize that in spices. So, you know, add in cinnamon, add turmeric, add curry powder, add all your spices, and in all the herbs. I think cloves are potent. I don't really use cloves
because they're a bit strong, but you've got to be careful.
Potent
with them.
Antioxidant.
So cloves are great when you are doing like a roast for the meat eaters. This is for you. If you poke some cloves either into an orange or into a onion, stick it in the cavity of your chicken or put it in with your roast. It just gives it a beautiful flavor. I do that when I do a slow cooker roast, and I put a couple of cloves and some orange juice in, and that's literally how I cook the meat.
Yes.
There's nothing else in. I much prefer fresh over packaged, but obviously that's not always everybody's possibility. So if you've got to use packet soups or tin soups would be better than the packaged soups, then, you know, they make a great gravy as well. But for this, and I do know that the artichoke hearts are a little expensive.
Yes, and they are amazing though.
Yeah, they are. But this recipe really doesn't call for a lot. We're going to take a quick ad break before we finish off the show. Thank you for listening.
Stay relevant and up to date. Keep you informed. This is 101.9 High FM.
Hi, this is Adrian from Crushing Your Life, and I had in studio today Nicole Sachs, who's a vegan dietitian. Nicole, how do people get hold of you, please?
So I often am looking for nice recipes and recipe ideas, which I do post on my Facebook page. My Facebook page is dietitian4 and the letter U - plant-based. A little bit of a mouthful, but it kind of works. So it's dietitian4u plant-based. And there, all my contact details are there, and you can message me through Facebook if there are any questions, if there's anything you want to know. But I do post a lot. I really try and post interesting, fun, easy recipes. I'm not a big cook. I'm not a big fan of cooking. If I always say if I can do it, anyone can do it. And people will say to me, your food looks amazing. I'm like, if I can do it, anyone can do it. I'm not one of those Instagrammers with all this food that you look at and you think, I can never make that. My food is very easy, very doable.
Okay, thanks very much. So I am also on Facebook, and it's Kushering Your Life, with the website and everything, and Instagram, which I don't often do. I know I'm supposed to. The thing is that when I post pictures of food, I get the wrong people looking. I get restaurants looking instead of people who actually want to learn how to do it. So I'm doing something wrong. So while I'm learning how to fix that, you can still have a look at the pictures. I often post what we had for supper. So that's an important thing. Then just a reminder that I do have a subscription service for people who are looking for ideas because they have no idea what to make for supper. It's a Monday to Friday dinner plan. Like I said, Monday is vegan, Tuesday is vegetarian, sometimes vegan as well because I don't always feel like fish. Wednesday is mince, Thursday is either chicken or meat, and then Friday is either chicken or meat depending on which it is. And then the Friday meal comes with the dessert and the, because people like dessert and a soup starter. I'm not big on that. So give us a call. You can go onto the Facebook page and message me or send an email to Chai FM and we can answer any questions that you have.
So, thank you for having me. It was lovely to be here.
It was absolutely divine having you. It's been such a great learning experience for me because as much as I think I know, there is so much more to learn, and I am old school. So I am my little three-colored plate with the starch and the protein and the vegetables on the sides, and I do sometimes have to fight my instinct to put a protein or feel bad for my husband or my son that I haven't got enough food for them, even though the food that I've made is like actually a full meal.
Yes, yes. I don't feel bad that there's no protein on the plate.
So that's it. So thank you once again for joining us. You'll be able to get the podcast as soon as it's uploaded, and the recipes will be on the recipe on the website as well for Chai FM. And this is Adrian. See you in 2 weeks' time. Thank you.